year of our Lord, 2024. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and with me will be Pastor Mark Smith as we take a look at the hymn for this coming Sunday, which is June the 2nd in the year of our Lord, 2024. The hymn of the day is O Day of Rest and Gladness. This verse was printed as the opening hymn in Christopher Wordsworth's collection, The Holy Year, in 1862. Originally, it had six stanzas. Writing hymns for the purpose of teaching sound doctrine, Wordsworth looked to Holy Scripture as his primary source for subject matter. Many changes in his text, though, have been subtle. For example, his original third and fourth stanzas were blended into a single stanza in 1941. So, drawing directly from Psalm 118, verse 24, which reads, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Therefore, a lot of the hymn is for the day of Proper Four, which is this coming Sunday. All right. Pastor Mark Smith, have you used this hymn very often?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. This is an old traditional hymn that I've used a lot. And it certainly conveys the way I feel about Sunday worship. I enjoy Sunday worship even more now that I'm retired than I ever did. It's funny.
Why is that?
I don't know. Maybe it's because I can rest and be on the receiving end of the preaching and teaching and join with the hymns fully. And I don't know. I really enjoy gathering for Sunday. I've got a weekly Bible study they attend right after I finish here.
Right.
I enjoy it more than I ever did. Not to say I didn't enjoy it before either.
All right. Would you read stanza one?
Sure. O day of rest and gladness, O day of joy and light, O balm of care and sadness, most beautiful, most bright. This day, the high and lowly, through ages, joined to bless, sing holy, 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 the triune God confess.
Now, the first question I have, O day of rest and gladness, what day is it referring to?
Well, I think it's clearly referring to, when you read the following verses, it's clearly referring to Sunday, the first day of the week.
Well said. A lot of people may think it's Easter, but no, it's every Sunday. And therefore, it is inappropriate to sing this hymn on another day, like Thursday, Saturday, or Monday.
I suppose so, although I don't know if I have a hard and fast rule against singing it any day. Every day should be, if only every day would be treated as a Sabbath for us.
Yes.
And someday we'll have the eternal Sabbath.
Right. What was the Sabbath in the Old Testament?
Saturday.
Yes. And so that caused some confusion with his hymn, and why there were some changes made in it, because they wanted to make sure people realize it was the first day of the week, Sunday, O day of rest and gladness, O day of joy and light. What does it mean, O balm of care?
Well, we all come to church and we have our ongoing cares and sorrows, just as we also have our joys. But the balm that is anointed on those cares and sadness that we carry with us is certainly what we receive on Sunday, the good news of the gospel in word and sacrament.
So in Jesus' day, balm was a type of perfume or something that would help people feel better.
Yeah, I remember somewhere, I can't give you the verse in the book, but it talks about the balm of Gilead.
Oh,
you ever,
okay.
You ever hear that? You hear that expression?
No.
Yeah. Well, it's like, balm is like an ointment.
Oh, yeah.
Healing ointment.
Exactly. So what's the healing ointment on Sunday?
The gospel.
Very good. Yes. So that's the message Jesus brought. Most beautiful and most bright. Then it says, this day, the high and lowly. What's that referring to?
I think that refers to all stratas of society. The peasant as well as the king, so to speak. High and the low. We all need that balm of the gospel.
Because the next phrase says, through ages, joined to bless.
Yes. That's the thing about the church. You know, the church is, the very gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church was begun, of course, properly, I suppose, on Pentecost. And through those ages, we've had the high and the lowly come to church on the day of the Lord and receive that balm of the gospel in Jesus Christ.
And when it says join to bless what?
Now that's referring to we gather to praise our Lord.
Yes, to bless the Lord, because the next part is sing holy, holy, holy. Why three holies?
That's our triune God we're talking about.
In fact, how does the last phrase say it?
The triune God confess. We sing holy, 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 the triune God confess. So that's pretty clear there.
Where does those words come from, holy, holy, holy? What text?
Let's
do you remember
see.
That from Isaiah?
Oh, well, yeah. I think, would you say Isaiah 6?
Excellent. Yep. That's where Isaiah sees the vision of God.
Right.
And what is his attitude when he sees that vision?
Oh, he says, woe is me, for
right.
I live in a area of unclean lips. I live in a world of sin. And yet my own eyes have seen the King. He's seen the Ancient of Days, and he feels like once he's seen God, he who lives among the sinners, he feels like he's going to be struck dead.
Exactly. See, that is a view that even some Lutherans have. They get older, they're alone, they're shut-ins, they recognize their sins, and it's hard for them to believe that they're going to be going to heaven because of their sinful life. What's the message you share with them when you see them?
Well, it's going on in Isaiah 6. An angel think it's a seraph, takes a coal, a hot coal, and with a pair of tongs, he touches Isaiah's lips. And yet that hot coal does not burn his lips, but it cleanses him. That's the, that's the good news. That's the good news of the gospel. And right after that, is it the Ancient of Days? Whom shall we send? And right away, instead of saying, oh, woe is me, right away, having been touched with the good news of the gospel, Isaiah says, here am I, send me.
Well said. The coal comes from where?
I'm trying to think. I don't know. I'm trying to remember now. Where does he get that coal?
Where do you think a coal would come from? It comes from the altar.
Yes, right. You're right. It comes from the altar. I'm doing this all from memory right now.
Well, that's what we always do. What would that be representing, the altar? From which the coal would come.
God himself. Would you say the means of grace, the word and sacrament, or is it Christ? Christ himself.
Close. The cross.
The cross. That was my next guess. I was going to say the cross.
You should have hurried up.
Yeah, you're right.
That's right. The cross is the altar upon which Christ was sacrificed.
That's right.
And all who look to it. Remember, there was a bronze snake put up by Moses.
Yes, yes.
And all who look to that bronze snake that was lifted up.
Yes.
They were healed from the serpent's bites.
Yeah, what a beautiful... what a beautiful foreshadowing. Who would think that a bronze snake would be such a beautiful foreshadowing of our Lord himself on the cross?
But it's in line with Genesis 3:15,
right,
where the snake is told that, yes, he will wound the heel,
yes,
of the Savior,
yes,
but the Savior will step on his head and kill him.
Yes, right.
Okay, stanza two, please.
This day at Earth's creation, the light first had its birth. This day for our salvation, Christ rose from depths of earth. This day our Lord victorious, the Spirit sent from heaven. And thus this day, most glorious, a threefold light was given.
So when it explains the day, what day was the earth created?
It's still talking about Sunday, the first day of the week.
That's right. What day did Christ rise from the dead?
On Sunday.
Yeah, that's why they suggest it should only be sung on Sundays.
Yes, right. I understand that. Yeah.
So, the light first had its birth. Who said, let there be light?
Let's see, was it God the Father, or was it Christ himself, the Word, the eternal Word?
It was God the Son.
God
it's
the Son.
Verse 3 of Genesis 1.
Right.
And that is backed up by, what does John 1 say?
Yeah, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Yes.
Right. And then nothing was created apart from the Word.
Right. You know, Tom, what's I wanted to say this earlier. I think one of the biggest signs of the impact of Easter on those disciples, shows how convinced they were of the reality of Christ's resurrection, was they who had been steeped all their lives in Saturday Sabbath worship suddenly make this huge change, and the Lord's Day becomes Sunday, not Saturday, but Sunday. Doesn't that say worlds about how those apostles were so absolutely convinced of the reality, the truth of Christ's resurrection on that first day of the week, that they changed their main day of the week, the Lord's Day, from Saturday to Sunday?
What day did the ascension take place? Had to be a huge
change for them.
Yeah, what day did the ascension take place?
That's interesting. Thursday, always on Thursday.
And what day was Pentecost?
Sunday.
Now see, that's why I'm surprised that Wordsworth didn't mention Pentecost also as the first day of the week.
Well, he does. He does. He says,
where?
This day on the second stanza, this day our Lord victorious, the Spirit sent from heaven.
Exactly. So I'm trying to figure out what is meant by the last phrase. A threefold light was given.
Well, I think that's talking about creation, the light of creation. Let there be light. It's talking about the light of the resurrection, Christ Himself, shining forth from the tomb, and then the threefold light, the third light is of course Pentecost.
Excellent. You wonder how many times congregational members recognize that.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people sing this hymn, and I'm probably guilty of this myself, without really thinking about what we're singing. We'll sing this hymn. It's a beautiful hymn, and it means a lot to us, and we'll sing it for years. But that's one reason why we're going over it so closely today, to help us appreciate the very words.
Yes, I've said that many a time, that people concentrate so much on getting the melody correct that they're not really examining the words.
Yeah, and some hymns, more than others even, are so rich with meaning.
Yes. In fact, that's the purpose of the pastor, not to explain just the Greek and the Hebrew and the Aramaic, but also the English of the Bible and of the hymns.
And of the liturgy.
Oh, yes.
There's so much we can learn by going closely over the liturgy.
Yes, because it really helps us to understand. All right, I'll read stanza 3. This day, God's people meeting, His holy scripture here, His living presence greeting, through bread and wine made near. We journey on, believing, renewed with heavenly might, from grace more grace receiving, on this blessed day of light. So, it talks about His living presence greeting. How do we do that?
That's, of course, talking about the Lord's Supper. The real presence of our Lord, His body and blood, under the bread and wine, through bread and wine made near. He is present in that Holy Supper. His very body and blood is given to us under the bread and wine for the forgiveness of sin, life, and salvation.
Yeah, that's very hard to accept, because it seems not to make any sense that a piece of bread, a sip of wine, that's His body and blood. But that's what Jesus says is occurring through the Holy Sacrament.
Yes. Very hard to accept, Tom. In fact, I would say even impossible to accept without the help of the Holy Spirit.
Yes. But when we accept it, what does the next phrase say occurs?
We journey on believing.
Yes.
Renewed with heavenly might. That we journey on. It's food. It's sustenance for our journey in life.
Now, how do you do that in a sermon, for example?
How do I do what?
How do you help them to be renewed with heavenly might?
Well, again, there's the gospel. I always try to refer to the Lord's Supper, especially if we're partaking of the Lord's Supper on that day. I try to refer to the Lord's Supper. It's part of the message.
Yeah, I always try and bring in both baptism and the Lord's Supper.
Right, both. You're right. Absolutely.
Even if you don't have a baptism, you usually have most of the people who were baptized.
Yeah, I really stress baptism. Because baptism is, there's so much assurance there. Assurance not only for yourself, but also for your children that have been baptized.
Yes. And that's how we journey on. Notice that it's not we journey on obeying.
No,
we
but believing.
Journey on believing.
Right, right.
A huge difference between law and gospel.
Now, Tom,
from
how
grace,
would you...
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask you, how do you interpret from grace, more grace, receiving? How would you explain that?
Well, originally, an infant receives from a gracious God the gift of the Holy Spirit and faith. But as that infant grows in Sunday school, vacation Bible school, worship services, and devotions at home, they receive more of the gracious promises, and that helps them to be renewed with heavenly might in whatever problems they come up with in life.
Yes, and once the Spirit has whet our appetite for His grace, we want more of it. At least now our old Adam fights against that, but our new man in us that we receive by grace through faith in Christ, we want more of that good news, of that grace, that gospel.
Right. Okay. Stanza 4. Anything you see there interesting?
It's a doxological verse. It has a triangle before it, and it's going to sing praise to all three persons of the Trinity. You want me to read it?
Well, before you do, I want to mention that originally they did not have a triangle there. That was put on in another edition of the hymnal.
Right.
So go ahead and read it.
That light, our hope sustaining, we walk the pilgrim way. At length, our rest attaining, our endless Sabbath day. We sing to thee our praises, O Father, Spirit, Son. The church her voice upraises to thee, blessed three in one. I like that reference to the endless Sabbath day, which is none other than that new heaven and new earth that we finally attained. We don't earn it ourselves, but it's bestowed on us.
And what is that referring to specifically?
The eternal, the endless Sabbath day is talking about that new heaven and new earth.
It refers to judgment day.
Right.
When our bodies will be restored to our spirits if we have already died.
That's right.
Now, it says we walk the pilgrim way. What does that refer to?
We walk the pilgrim way. Well, our life is now a pilgrimage.
Yes.
We follow
Christ.
Well,
what does the word pilgrimage mean?
I don't know, Tom. You've caught me flat-footed. Pilgrim, it's a journey. It's a religious journey.
Well said. Yes. The Roman Catholic Church had pilgrimages where you would go to Rome or other places. Some people make pilgrimages to the Holy Land. Have you ever gone to the Holy Land?
No, I've never been there.
But you know a lot about it.
Oh, yes.
So the pilgrim way is the journey, as you well said, to a place that you're really looking forward to. And that is heaven itself. So, we sing to thee our praises, O Father, Spirit, Son. The church her voice upraises, to thee, blessed three in one. So thank you, Pastor Mark Smith, for helping us with the hymn, O Day of Rest and Gladness. And that's why we encourage people to attend church on Sundays, because that's the day when we hear of creation, Pentecost, and the resurrection. Join us tomorrow for more.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.